Good morning. Today's daf is Sanhedrin, Sadi Beis. We are in Sadi Aleph Amud Beis. We are starting today, right at the end of the narrow lines of the Gemara. We're starting with the words Reish Lakish Rami. We are thematically discussing Tchias HaMeisim. The Mishnah, opening up the 11th parak of Sanhedrin, told us that not only does a person have to be mamin b'Tchias HaMeisim, have full belief that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, but it's also min HaTorah. One has to recognize and realize that Tchias HaMeisim is not just a concept that's out there, but it actually is encoded in the Torah. That Rashi in the Mishnah, we've already said a number of times, but I'm just going to look at that Rashi one more time this morning on Sadi Amud Aleph. So the Rashi says, "Ha'omer ein tchias ha'meisim in haTorah shekofer b'midrashim d'darshinam b'gemara l'kama," meaning that we're going to be giving a lot of drushas over the course of the first couple dapim of the perek. Minan tchias ha'meisim in haTorah. That'll be the refrain of the beginning of this perek. Where do we see tchias ha'meisim in haTorah? Ve'afilo yehimod ma'amin sheyichyu ha'meisim. And Rashi goes on to write, and even if you believe in tchias ha'meisim ela delo remizi baraisa, but you just simply say, but look, it's just not in the Torah. But I believe in it. So Rashi writes very strongly, kofer hu. Such an individual is a kofer. He's a denier. Hova oker sheyesh tchias ha'meisim in haTorah. Umalanu lemenasena v'chim eichen hu yodea shekein hu. Meaning, where are we supposed to know this information from? We're supposed to know from the Torah. Hilka kofer gamohur. So he's an absolute kofer. So Rashi wrote back in the Mishnah very strongly that it's not just enough to believe in tchias ha'meisim, but you have to be able to source it in the Torah. And when I say Torah here, I really mean Tanakh, as we're going to be seeing over the course of the Gemara today. We're going to be all over the place throughout Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, various psukim that speak to this idea of tchias ha'meisim. We are now continuing in the Gemara. We're right in the middle of Sadi Aleph Amud Beis. Reish Lakish Rami Ksiv. Reish Lakish notes that there seems to be a contradiction between two Pesukim. One Pesuk says, from Yirmiyahu Bami Vera Peseach HaRavi Yoledes Yachdav, that what will be born is children who are blind and lame. The word Pesach over here means lame, like we saw in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. Sorry. The beginning of the third parak of Masechta Sukkah, when the Navi over there describes the lame Karbanos that are brought. Uksiv, we have another Pesach. Az Yidalei Ka'ayol Pesach V'tarun Lashon Ilayim. On the other hand, the Pesach Yishayahu describes how basically what's going to happen is that we're going to jump around. People who are once upon a time lame are going to jump like gazelles. So ha-ketzad. So the Gemara says, how can you explain the discrepancy between these two Pesukim? The Gemara says very simply. Omdim b'mumam u'mizrapim. Somebody who in this world, let's say, died while being lame. So when resurrected, so he's going to come back to the world as being lame. But then, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give him a refuah, and he'll have a full healing, and he'll be jumping around like a gazelle. Ula Ramiksiv, there is another seemingly steer amongst Pesukim. One Pesuk says, Bila amavas anetzach umach Hashem, dima me'alko panim. So the Pesuk in Yeshayahu describes how, when we come back for Tchias HaMeisim, so that's it, we're going to be here forever. And there's not going to be death anymore. On the other hand, there's another pasuk giving a slightly different description. Nuksiv, kol anar ben mea shana yamos, lo yeh misham od ol yamim. The pasuk describes how, if let's say in Tchias HaMeisim someone dies at 100, so we're all going to say, well, he died really young. He was a child. Meaning that we're going to be living exceptionally long lives, but this other pasuk gives the indication that eventually we are going to die. And dying at 100 is considered dying young, but meaning to say, but eventually everyone is going to die at some point in time or another. So, one pasuk in the Navi is describing how there is no death. Another pasuk is describing how there is a death, albeit we'll have a much longer life. So, the Gemara says, again, not a stira. One's talking about the Jews, one's talking about the non-Jews. So, the Gemara says, now that is assuming that Ovdei Kochavim are going to be there by Tchias HaMeisim. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Gemara says, yeah, because what's going to end up happening is that they're going to be there, and they're going to be working the farms and working the vineyards, and yeah, in other words, they'll also be there at Tchias HaMeisim as well. Rav Chista also notes a steer between the Pesukim. One pasuk describes v'chafra levana uvosha achama ki malach Hashem tzvakos, that the moon and the sun are going to be embarrassed because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming out. On the other hand, k'siva hayaor levana korachama vorachama yeshivasaim k'or shivas hayamim. On the other hand, another pasuk describes how the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, so they're going to radiate. And they're going to radiate with maximum radiation, greater than what we're experiencing now. So the Gemara here now clearly is describing two different periods of time. One is the Yemos HaMashiach, and the other one is Olam Haba. Rashi writes over here, on Yemos HaMashiach, the Kishiyichla HaShibet V'Aisa Ora Levana Kora Chama La'asa Lavo, V'Chafra Levana Vosha Chama Mirov Neg Am Shal Tzadikim. Meaning the way Rashi describes it is that there's this period of Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is going to be even more powerful, more strong than we know now. Meaning nature is going to take a slightly different course. And so there will be a sun and there will be a moon and they're going to radiate. Much greater than what we have now. And then there's going to move to a period of Olam Haba. And this period of Olam Haba where there's going to be so much HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shechina in this world that even then the sun and the moon won't reflect and radiate at all. Okay, this is the first time in the Gemara where we clearly get some sort of distinction and delineation between a period of Tchias HaMeitzim and a period of Olam Haba. Again, how do we properly understand this? The answer, of course, is like I said in the beginning of the Perek, we don't. Meaning, these are esoteric matters which we have not yet experienced, and so therefore with a lack of experience, it's very hard to articulate exactly what these events are going to look like. Meaning, we're at least given the vocabulary now. So at least we know what to call things, but in terms of actually describing them, they're going to be much clearer once we actually experience them. The Gemara continues. Now, Shmuel happens to be of the opinion that during the period of Tchias HaMesim, there is not going to be any difference naturally. The natural world during Tchias HaMesim will look exactly the same as it does right now. The difference is going to be the Jewish autonomy. The Jewish people are going to be an autonomous nation living independently in Eretz Yisrael, and there will not be any more Shibud Galios. So then the world will work in a utopia, but not a utopia where the nature is going to be anything different. Utopia is just simply meaning that we will be a self-sustaining sovereign country. Fine. That is Shmuel's position, which parenthetically, by the way, the Rambam, as you probably would have guessed, but the Rambam seems to subscribe to the position of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then how do we resolve the discrepancy on the Pesukim? Lokasha kam b'machane tzadikim kam b'machane shechina. So again, the talking about the distinction of the ferocity and the intensity of the sun, where one pasuk gets described as sun and moon being intense celestial bodies, but we are able to perceive them. These verses, the other pasuk which says where it's only shechina, and we'll have absolutely no perception of the sun and the moon. So one is just a difference of describing the encampment of the tzaddikim versus the encampment of the Shekhinah. And again, hard for me to really articulate what all this means, but again, we at least now we have vocabulary. Rava Ramiksiv. Rava notes, again, another stira in Pesukim, Ani Amis Ve'achyeh. So one pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts to death and HaKadosh Baruch Hu revives. Uksiv Machatziv Ani Arpeh. On the other hand, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu healing. So the Gemara says again, similar to what we said earlier, but now we're saying it again, is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu first does is he resurrects the individual. Now, if he died from an ailment, he's going to be resurrected with that ailment, but then, subsequently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal that individual. Tanu Rabbanani, Emes Ve'achir Yachos Shedei Misa Be'echa Ve'chaim Be'echan. I might have thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills one person but puts to life another person. Meaning it's not describing the same person, right? So the Gemara says, no, wrong. Just like whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about healing, obviously he's healing the same person who got sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not causing illness to one person and healing to another person. That makes, of course, no sense. The healing is coming to the sick person. Similarly, the Tchias HaMesim is calling to the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed. Mikan Shuv Alam Remein Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. So here's another response to the people who say that you can't find Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. You can. We just locate another remez. Tanya. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rebbe Amar Rebbe Meir Minan Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. Here's another source of Tchias HaMesim from the Torah Shenemar Az Yashem Moshev Neisos Hashir Azos Hashem. Now if you look at the way the verb is conjugated. It says yasher, we will sing. Now shalom emar ela yasher. Now that, of course, is very strange because the Torah is describing it as a historical event. So it should say shar. Grammatically, it should be in the past tense. And meanwhile, it's in the future. Mikan l'tchias ha-meisim in the Torah, another remes of tchias ha-meisim. Kayotz ha-badavar ha-ta-omer. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Sefer Yoshua. As yivneh Yoshua mizbech l'Hashem. Yoshua will build the mizbech. And again, grammatically, it makes no sense. Because it's describing a historical event, it should say in the past tense. Banu lo ne'amar le'yivneh mikan l'tchias ha-meisim in the Torah, another remes. So the Gemara says, what about in the beginning of Sefer Malachim, where the Navi describes very critically how Shlomo HaMelech built altars to idolatry? Now, even that as a sentence is most difficult to understand. Shlomo HaMelech building building some edifice for idols. And what the Gemara now notes is that it's not even written in the past tense, it's written in the future tense. And now, what do you want to say? It comes out to an absolutely absurd pshat. That in the future, during Tchias HaMeisim, Shlomo HaMelech is going to build an idol, some sort of edifice toward the idol. Gemara says, can't be. Ha'achinami di'yivne. So, Elameata, Alav HaKasav, ki'ilu bana. So, the Gemara says, no. No. What we have to say over there is a different pshat. The pshat we're going to say over there is that Shlomo HaMelech never actually built and will never actually build. But because Shlomo HaMelech introduced people like Bas Paro into the palace, and some of the wives that he married were idolaters, and they introduced idolatry into the palace, so it's ki'ilu, it's as if Shlomo HaMelech built, but he never actually built, nor will he ever build some edifice towards the base, towards idolatry. I'm Rav Yishuv Malevi Minan Tzches HaMeisim in HaTorah. Rav Yishuv Malevi also cites the source. Shenemar Asher Yashav Visechot Yolucha Sela Hilalucha Lo Nemar Ela Yehalalucha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we will sing praises towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mikan Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, in the future tense, meaning, again, another remez for Tchias HaMeisim. Amar Rav Yishuv Malevi Kol HaOmer Shir B'Lamazem Zocha V'Omer L'Olam Haba. If you sing shiros in this world, you're going to sing them in Olam Haba as well. Shenemar Asher Yashav Visecha Od Yehalalucha Sela. Again, the conjugation is in the future tense. Again, another remez in Tchias HaMeisim from Sefer Yishael called Sofach Nasu Kol Yachtav Yiranenu. Yiranenu means we will sing. So Rinenu Lo Nemar Le Yiranenu Mekan Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. Again, the future tense gives a very good allusion to Tchias HaMeisim. I'm Rabbi Chaver Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Hasidim called Nevim Kulam Omrim Shira Bekol Echad. Eventually, what's going to happen is that the Nevim are going to sing Shira in unison. Now, perhaps, this could be in contradistinction to what we learned yesterday. Yesterday, we talked about how when Nevuah is given to the Nevi'im, so it's coming besignonecha, it's coming in one signal, but each one of them is receiving it and interpreting it based on their own persona and personality. And we said how Nevi'im are never going to sound the same. No two Nevi'im are going to sound the same. And the Gemara over here says that in the future, so, and again, what I'm saying could be, not necessarily, but could be, that in the future, the signal is going to be so clear and so crisp that all the Nevi'im are going to be sounding the same. Shenemer kol tzofech nasu kol yachdav iran nenu. Am Rav Yudam Rav kol hamoneh halacha mipitamet kielu gozlo minachlas ovasav. Withholding Torah from your student is like stealing an estate that was due to him. So Shenemar Torah Tzivalan Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov Marashahi Lechol Yisrael Misheshes Tamei Breishes. It's a Marasha. I mean, this is an inheritance that was given to us, set aside from Sheshes Tamei Breishes. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Bizna Amar Rav Yishmael Chasid Kol Amonei Alach Mi Pitam And Afilu Uvrim Shebe Mei Imam Mekalalin. If you have Torah to teach a student, then you withhold the Torah from your student, so you're going to be cursed by everybody, including fetuses within their mother's womb. Gemara over here could be understood in conjunction with the Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida, everyone knows famously, says that the fetuses are learning Torah within their mother's womb, and then forgetting it upon exit. But the fetuses themselves are learning the Torah, and the Rebbe who is not teaching his Talmud Torah, so even the fetuses are cursing because they appreciate and understand that of Torah. Shenemar. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. Monea bar yakvu la'om. Difficult pasuk to translate. Monea means to withhold. Bar usually refers to grain. Yakvu la'om will be cursed by nations. Okay, so the Gemara now goes on to explain it in the context of what we just learned. So the Gemara says, we're on the very top of Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, Ein Lama La'ubrim, the La'om is referring to fetuses, Shenamar La'om La'om Ye'ematz. Going to Rivka, and the two fetuses that she's carrying inside of her. So the Pasuk says that the La'om is a reference to the fetuses. I mean, see Rashi over there, he explains it actually refers to the nations that are going to be produced from those two fetuses, but anyway. Ein Kava Ala Klal Shenamar Ma'akov Lo Kaba Kel. You open up to Parshas Bilam, and you're going to see over there where the word kavo means to curse. Ve'ein bar el Torah shenamar nashku bar pen ye'enav. The word bar is a reference to Torah. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in the second paragraph of Tehillim describing how we should cling to bar so that we don't become angry or upset, meaning Torah. Ula bar yishmal amar menak v'noso kekavra. A slight different take on the curse to the Rebbe who does not teach his Talmud Torah, withholds Torah from his Talmud. So Rabbi Shmuel teaches us, I'm sorry, Ula Bar Yishmael teaches us, Menachem Naso Kekavra is going to be pierced like a sieve. Ksiv hachi yakvu la'amu ksiv hasam v'yikov chur b'dalaso. V'amar Abaye ki uchle dekatsri. Abaye also jumps on the individual who is withholding Torah from his student. Not only is he going to be pierced like a hole, pierced like a sieve, but uchle dekatsri. Like the launderer, where when he washes the clothing, he washes it in a basket that has a lot of holes in it. Right? You look at your washing machine. There's a basin in there in the washing machine with a lot of holes in it. So the Gemara says that's the kind. That's what's going to happen to the individual withholding Torah from his student. V'im lamdo maschara. Okay, now we talked about the negative. Let's now talk about the positive. What happens? What do we say regarding the Rebbe who teaches his Talmud Torah? Amrav sheisha zoch lebrachos ki Yosef. Subject to the brachas that were given to Yosef. Shenemar u'brach la'rosh mashbir, ein mashbir la'Yosef. The mashbir is a reference to Yosef, Shenemar v'Yosef, who ha'shalit al ha'aretz, who mashbir l'chol am ha'aretz. He was a supporter of the entire Egyptian people, meaning he was the one who collected the food. He supported all the people. Amrav sheshes kol ha'malam mitar b'olam hazeh zochel malam d'olam ha'aba. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Sheshes that another bracha for the Rebbe's teaching his Talmud and Torah in this world is that he's going to end up also being a Rebbe in Olam Haba as well. Shenemar umarve gam hu yoreh. Am Rav Aminan tchias ha'meisim in the Torah. Rav also cites another source of tchias ha'meisim from the Torah. Shenemar yechi ruvein va'al yamos. Just a couple of days ago we learned this in Shul. In Vizos HaBracha, Ruvein's going to live and he's not going to die. Yechi ruvein v'al hamazeh v'al yamos l'olam haba. He will live in this world, and the Al Yamus is a reference to Olam Haba, another remez to Tchias HaMesim. Ravina Amar Me'achav Rabbi Mi'eshna Ad Masafer Yakisu Eila L'Chayolam La'Olam Ve'Eila L'Charpos L'Darom Olam. A pasuk from Sefer Daniel, which is perhaps the most clear-cut pasuk describing Tchias HaMesim. So it says that those who are Yishene Ad Masafer, those who are sleeping under the earth, Yakitsu, they're going to wake up. Perhaps this is the clearest, most accurate graphic description of Tchias HaMesim. Now it describes how when they wake up, Eila L'Chai Olam Ve'Eila L'Cherpos L'Daram Olam. So some are going to go up and receive a world portion of the world to come, and others not. Ravashi Amar Me'achav Atalach Alakets V'Tanuch V'Tamol L'Garolech Lakets Hayamim. Another pasuk from the same parak in Daniel, the 12th parak of Daniel, of Sefer Daniel, once again describes how at an appointed time, at the end of time, so they're going to stand up and receive some sort of portion. Am Rabbi Lazar Kopana Shemana Gezatzibar Menachat Zochel Manigam La'olam Haba. Rabbi Lazar is also quoted as saying that any leader that leads the people benachas, with calmness, with tranquility, with gentleness, is going to receive a portion in and lead them in Olam Haba. Shenemar ki merachmam yenagem va'al mevu emayim yenahalem. He's going to be a leader not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Va'amar avalaz ha'gadol ha'dea sheninna ben shtei osios. We're going to talk now, we're going to quote other members of Rabbi Lazar. Again, may or may not be connected to what we learned previously, but this happens, though, once we quote a memra of Rabbi Elazar, or any Amora for that matter. Sometimes the Gemara just simply gets into a tangent, quoting other memras said by the same Amora. Deya. Deya, generally to be understood as knowledge, understanding, first of our petitions in Shmoneh Esrei, meaning after the Gimel Brachos of Shavach. So the first thing we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for Deya. The Gemara now describes, in the, as a member of Rebbe Lazar, how important Deya is. Gedola Deya Shenina Beishe Osios. What it is it's found between the two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Ki Kel Deos Hashem. You see, Deos is, has the word Kel in front of it, Shem Hashem, and Hashem after it, Shem Hashem. Bracketed by Shem Hashem, showing us how important it is. V'amar Rebbe Lazar Gadol Mikdash Shenitim Beishe Osios. Shenema, Pulas Hashem. I'm sorry, Pa'alta Hashem Mikdash Hashem. Konanu Yadecha. So you see the word Mikdash once again flanked by the Shem Hashem on both sides, in front of it and right after it. Maskavarvada Karchina Elamiata Gedola Nikama Shinina Ben She Osios. What about revenge? We generally don't view revenge as a good thing. The Torah says, Lo Sikom, we're not allowed to take revenge. And meanwhile, I'll show you a pasuk in Tehillim, a pasuk we're familiar with. Where Dichsev El Nekamos Hashem Kel Nekamos Hofia. So you see that the word Nekama is actually has a Hashem's name in front of it, and Hashem's name immediately afterwards. And you want to tell me that Nekama is such a great thing? The Gemara says it is. Amalei Lemilsa Hachinami. Yeah. In other words, for an appropriate purpose, Nekama is a very powerful thing. Kidu Ula Damar Ula She Hofia Salalu Lama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Nekama as a reward and a good thing, and it takes Nekama for bad as well. What does that mean? I turn to Rashi. Chad Alatova, Shal Yisrael Shesilach Shechina Asomim Umas Olam Aval Yisrael Vekarle Nekamas Mishum Detigmal Tov Hu Shezach Leshechina Al She'amru Nasa V'nishma. So, V'nekama Hainu Tigmal. Sometimes nekama can be a positive thing, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to positively affect and influence somebody as a reward. So the example that Rashi gives is that when offered the Torah, we said, you know what? Whatever it says, nasa v'nishma. In other words, we'll do the Torah. We commit nishma, and then you know, you want to give us the details. Obviously, we need to know the details, but first thing first is commitment. So Nekama in this context means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes Shekhinah from the Umos HaOlam and takes it and places it on B'nai Yisrael. And that's Nekama understood in the positive sense of we were given something. That's the Gemul. On the other hand, Rashi goes on to say, V'achas HaParnos La'ovdei Kochavim Shenifrem Mehem Liyam Adim Kedamina Be'perakam Adim Masachas Ovar Azor Nokem Hashem Oval Chema La'akum Shu Be'atzmo Chvado Nifrem Mehem V'haynu Hofa. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can exact vengeance against the people who are worshipping idols and obviously offending HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Back to the Gemara. It is, we're on the first wide line of the Amud. Amar of Lazar. Kol adam sheish bo dea ki'ilu nivne beis hamikdash biyamav. Anyone who has dea is as if he built the beis hamikdash. Zeh nitan bein shnei osios, zeh nitan bein shnei osios. As we've just got done proving through Psukim, Deya is given between two Shem Hashems, and you see that the Beis HaMikdash also is bracketed by Shem Hashem. V'amar Rav Elazar called them Sheish Bo Deya L'Sof Mitasher. Anyone who has Deya is going to end up becoming wealthy. Shenemar Uvedas Chadarim Yim'alu Kol Hon Yakar V'Na'im. House will end up being filled with possessions. V'amar Rav Elazar called them Sheish Bo Deya L'Sof L'Rachim Alav. Somebody who does not have understanding, you can't have compassion upon him. I think it's fair to say, there's a simple pshat in the Gemara. Gemara is not talking about somebody who's mentally incompetent. The Gemara is talking about somebody who has the ability to gain insight and understanding and has the ability to use his brain, but chooses not to. I think that's a simple pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, and I say that because the Gemara says you're not allowed to have such compassion for an individual. It means he has the ability, he has the cognitive ability, but he opts not to use it or to make good with it. Shenama, the Gemara says, Kilo im am kilo am binosu akein lo yirachmenu oseyu velotz v'yatzor lo yichonenu. Pasuk says actually very clearly in Yeshayahu that if you have a nation who chooses not to use their understanding in Bina, Kadosh Baruch Hu will not have rachmenos in such a nation. V'amar avalaz kolanos in pisa lemisha einbo deya yisurin ba'analav. Somebody who gives bread to somebody who is who does not have deya. And again, I'm going to insist that the pshat in the pasuk is meaning somebody who has the ability but opts not to use his brain. And then you go ahead and you give the individual bread, so you surin ba'an alav. Not only are you not performing a mitzvah, but you're going to be suffering as a result of that. Shenemar lach mechecha simu mazur tachtecha. Ein tvuna bo. If you give your bread to mazur, it's a strange word. The Gemara is going to sit on that word in just a moment. So ein tvuna bo, the person does not have any tvuna. So ve'ein mazur ele yisurim. You know what mazur is? Yisurim, it's suffering. In fact, I think, I'm proposing, I didn't see this anywhere, but the word mazur is much like the English word misery. Okay? I mean, it sounds the same. So misery is yisurim, it's suffering. So in other words, the person who gives bread to somebody who chooses not to use his daya, has the capability, has the cognitive ability, but chooses not to use it, and then you give him tzedakah, you're going to suffer yisurim, you the donor. Shenemar, Vayar Ephraim Eschal Yovi Yehudas Mizoro. And again, the Gemara is just using this pasuk to show that the word Mizora can mean a suffering, a misery. Vamar Avalazar Kol Adam Shem Bodea L'Sof Gola. Somebody who does not have Dea is going to be sent into the exile. Shenemar, Kol Choshech Tamun L'Tzfunav Tochle U'esh Lo Nofach Yerei Sarid Ba'o Halo. The person will be consumed by fire. The sarid will be burned within his tent. The Gemara goes on to explain. Ein sarid ala tam hachacham. The word sarid is a reference to tam hachacham. Shenemar v'saridim asher Hashem korei. Okay. V'amar Rav Elazar. Kol she'eno ma'ana tamid hachachamim menachasav eino ro'asim en brecha la'olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you wealth, and you do not share it with a tam hachacham, so you will not see a bracha. Or to put that in the positive, you have a Talmid Chacham living in your community, so you should be Mahana. You should benefit him. You should share with him some of your wealth. Shenemar Ein Sri La'achlo, Al-Kain Lo Yachol Tovo. And again, Ein Sri La'atamid Chacham, Shenemar V'sirdim Asher Hashem Korei. So again, knowing that the word Sarit is a reference to a Talmid Chacham, so the Navi is chastising somebody who does not share his wealth with the Talmid Chacham. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol She'eno Mishayir Pasul Shulchano Eino Ro Siman Bracha La'olam. A halacha, which in these Gemaras is not that usual. I mean, a lot of these Gemaras, the vast majority of these Gemaras are talking about tenets and beliefs and obviously important things, basic things about Yadus, but not so much halacha, but hashkafa. Here the Gemara takes a moment. Again, we're stringing together all the statements of Rav Elazar. So here comes another one. You should leave food on your table. More specifically, you should leave bread on your table. And if you do not leave bread on your table, ain't no roa simen bracha lolam, you will not see a bracha. Now Rashi over here writes tersely, succinctly. I'm looking at the Rashi, I'm reading the Rashi. It is the bottom of the right column, meaning both columns on this amud is Rashi. Rashi writes, kol she'ena mashayir piteyem, ditzarech l'shayir kidechsev achol v'oser. So Rashi just quotes a pasuk from Malachim that you're supposed to eat and leave over. And I guess, meaning I'm assuming, although there's another Rashi coming up, which I'm going to show you momentarily, but at least according to this Rashi, the idea is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me so much bracha, I have that which to leave over. I don't have to eat everything that's in front of me. Okay. Shenemar, Ein Sarid La'achlo, Aken Lo Yachil Tovo. If you don't leave anything over, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give good upon you. V'hamar Rav Elazar Kol HaMashar Pesisam HaShulchanim Kilo Ovid Avod Azar. Now there's another statement to Rav Elazar, which seems to be in direct opposition. That if you do not leave bread on your table, it's like your worship idol. Shenemar ha'orchim legad shulchan v'amalim lemini mimsach. The word God and mini in this pasuk refers to idols. Again, interesting. I've just noticed this a couple times today, that the word God used over here and the English word, lowercase g, can refer to gods, meaning lowercase g. Although it is a little bit strange because one of the name of the Shvatim is God. Okay, but anyway, in this context, Rashi says the word God and Mani are referencing idolatry. Again, the Gemara says, Lokasha hadika shlema behadeh, hadika shlema, hadaleka shlema behadeh. I'm going to say over the Gemara like Rashi. Rashi says, when is leaving over bread at the end of meal a good thing and when is it a bad thing? So, explains Rashi. If you leave over some of the bread from the meal, meaning of the loaf that was put in front of you, by itself without another loaf of bread, that's fine. Because if what you do at the end of the meal is you introduce a new loaf of bread at the end of the meal, what does that look like? So Rashi says, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like you're bringing a new loaf of bread for some other deity, some other force, some other power, meaning idolatry. If, on the other hand, you just get to the end of the meal, and what you're leaving are crumbs of bread over from the meal, so that's a good thing, and that's where you're going to get a siman bracha. And also Rashi points out, and here comes the next Rashi, which I foreshadowed a couple of moments ago. Rashi says, V'had aleka shlema, I'm reading on the left-hand column of Rashi, four narrow lines down, V'had aleka shlema ba'adah demizumanim la'ani. You see, if you leave over a little bread at the end of the meal, and a poor person comes knocking on the door, so you can hand over now the bread to the poor person. So from this Rashi, it seems that the purpose of leaving the bread over at the end of the meal is so that if in the event you have a poor person knocking on the door, you'll have that which to give him. You'll have food to give him. Okay, so, and it could be both, by the way. In other words, the two ideas of Rashi are there just simply to complement one another. Meaning, like the first Rashi, leaving bread over at the end of the meal shows that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me so much, like I can leave over, I don't have to eat everything. And two, the second Rashi, which is also a practical consideration, that at the end of the meal, if someone comes knocking on the door, you have something to give them. The two ideas can just simply be complementary. Amar v'amar Rav Elazar, continuing in the Gemara. We're on Sadi Beis Amad Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amad. Kol amachle b'dibur kilo over Rav Elazar. So if you disguise your voice so that people do not know who you are, it's like serving idolatry. K'siv hachava isa beinav kimetatea. Now here the Gemara quotes, who in Chumash do we know tried to disguise their voice? So Yaakov. Now I'll also point out he wasn't that successful in disguising his voice because when his father Yitzchak heard him, so he says, a kol Yaakov. Like, I know that voice. But Yaakov tried to describe his voice. And meanwhile, K'siv hatzam, hevel hema maaseta to him. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu describing idolatry using the word tatuim. Now, if you think about this Gemara just a little bit, you get the impression that Yaakov should not have disguised his voice, and it's tantamount, it's ke'ilo, like he served idolatry. But that's a strange conclusion, because Yaakov did the right thing. He listened to his mother, and his mother told him what to do, and we generally assume that he did the right thing. So, okay, the Gemara is a little bit, at least I'll say it like from my perspective, I struggle a little bit with this Gemara, because certainly, on one hand, I certainly am not in a position to criticize Yaakov. In general, I feel that way regarding the Avos. On the other hand, the Gemara over here says disguising your voice is like idolatry. So it's difficult to put these Gemaras together. Amar Rav Elazar called Mistakel Be'erva Kashas Neneris. Somebody who stares at naked pictures of inappropriate material, so his bow is going to quiver. Rashi says it's a description of impotence. Shenamar Eriyata or Kishtech. V'amar Rav Elazar, another statement of Rav Elazar. Lalam have kabel v'kayem. A person should be humble. Humble at all times. The word kabel in this context is a description of humility. Rashi writes, anav v'tichye. If you're humble, you're going to live. Amar Rabbi Zerah afanan namitanina beisafel ein pochsen lo chalonos lo o nig o. Shema minam. In fact, we could take a halacha and use it to describe this hashkafic point. Let's say you have a house with saras, or at least we think so. But you know what? It's hard to see because there's no windows in the house. So the halacha does not demand that you have to knock a window into the wall so that you could see. Meaning, if the amount of light allows you to see the negative saras in the house, fine. Otherwise, the kohen will just simply say, look, I don't have enough light here, and I don't have to bring light into the house in order to see the nega. That's the halacha. Now, what we're learning over here, hashkafically from the halacha, is that if a person lives humbly, meaning he's private, he's not flashy. I mean that word here almost literally. He's not flashy. So for such an individual, so you know, the person will have a chiyus, will have a life. Amar Rav Tevi, Amar Rav Yoshi, my dichtziv sha'ova otsa rachem, eretz lo sava mayim. The Navi here in Mishlei is describing things that we just simply can't get enough of. We can't. The grave doesn't seem to be able to get enough. The Otsa Rechem, a woman's woman's private area, and and erosol savamayim and water. In other words, these items do not seem to be gain enough. Now, in this listing, v'chima inyan shol etzel recha. So side by side is a woman's uterus and a grave. And those two items are placed side by side, and what is that? The Gemara goes on to explain. So over here, it's a beautiful comparison in that. What happens is that the woman's uterus, so it collects, it receives the man's seed, and then it produces a child. So it both accepts and absorbs, and it also expels. Same thing is true with the grave. It absorbs, but it also expels as well. And the Gemara says, and we can even with this analogy, we can even go one step further. So as far as the uterus is concerned, so it absorbs privately. The man and woman are having relations privately. And meanwhile, when the baby comes out, there's a lot of fanfare. Right? People are excited. So,
Is the
kever. Right, excellent. I was thinking that, but very good. You articulated it. So, and sho'ol, she'machnisim ba'bekolos, ain't no din she'motzim imena be'kolekolos. So, and when it comes to the grave, when someone goes into the grave, so there's a lot of, fanfare is not the right word, but there's a lot of sound. And most of it, of course, is crying. Meaning people are wailing, but when someone is introduced to the cave, into the grave. And meanwhile, when the grave is going to expel, kolekolos, once again, there's going to be a lot of. There's going to be a lot of excitement. The answer is yes. Okay. I wanted you to take one with your name on it. Okay. Thanks. Oh, no problem. Thank you. Okay. Bottom of the Amud. Mikan Shuv Alomrim in Tchias Mesim Min HaTorah. And again, the Gemara punctuates that with the idea that there is no here's another remez and a criticism for those people who say that there's no Tchias Mesim Min HaTorah. Tandavei Aliyahu, the Gemara quotes, we're on the very bottom of Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. Tzadikim Shasik Hashem Baruch Hu Lehachiyosam Inachosam Lafram. So the tzaddikim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu are going to resurrect are not going to go back to the dirt, not going to go back to the earth. Okay, now, I don't know if I mentioned this since the beginning of the parak, but now's a good time to mention it. Why not? The Rambam is clearly of the position that this period of Tchias HaMeisim is that where body and soul are going to be reunited, but for a temporary period of time. And then what's going to happen is they're going to get separated once again, and our souls are going to go enter into this Olam HaNeshamos. Okay. The Ramban, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, so he takes issue with this view of the future. And he says, no, the body and soul are going to be reunited and reunited permanently. Our Gemara over here seems to be a little bit more supportive of the Rambam's position, but I know you can argue. I understand that. The Gemara over here says that tzaddikim in the future are going to continue living and they're not going to go back to the earth. A simple reading of the Gemara is that the rest of us are going to go back to the earth and body and soul are going to be divided once again. And again, I know you could argue the point, but a simple reading of the Gemara seems to support the Rambam. Although, the tzaddikim, then what's happening with them, meaning their bodies and souls are together forever? Okay, anyway, obviously, like I said earlier this morning, and I'll say it again, it's hard to wrap our heads around a lot of these things as we have not yet experienced them, but at least now we have a vocabulary. At least we know, you know, we're given the ABCs. We may not be able to put the words together, but at least we're given some basics. Einachosim la'afram shenemar v'ayanashar b'tziyam v'nosar b'shalem kadosh yamar lo, so kol ha'kasa l'chaim b'yushalayim. So the Gemara now explains this very cryptic pasuk from Yeshayahu, Ma kadosh la'olam kayam af la'olam af heim la'olam kayam. Just like kadosh, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is la'olam, meaning he's infinite. So too, those people, meaning the tzaddikim, they're also going to continue to endure forever. The im tomar, on the very top of tzaddi, beiz amud beiz. And perhaps you'll say, oh, some shanim shasid ha-kosh baruch lecharish ba'emes olamo, shenemar, v'nizkaf ha-shem levado ba-yamahu. Tzaddikim ma'hein osin. So basically, what's going to happen to this world is that the world is going to be closed for a certain period of time. Right? Like under construction, if you will. Right? Right? So when renovating, so you know there are signs up in the front, like right, no one can come here because renovating. And there's going to be a period of renovation. So during this period of renovation, what's going to happen to the tzaddikim who are not going to go back to the offer? What's going to happen to them? So the Gemara says, Mahinosim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osalim Kenafayim Kenesharim. So they're going to be given a pair of wings, just like Nesharim, eagles. Others translated as vultures, but anyway. Vishatan al panei amayim, they're going to be floating over the water. Shenemar alken lo nirabe hamir eretz bemot harim belev yamim. Pasuk in Tehillim describing how they're going to be floating and hovering above the earth. Vishematar meyeshlam tsar, that's a lot of floating for a long period of time. Are they going to experience pain? The Gemara says no. Tamalamar v'kovei Hashem yachlifu koach yalu aver kinesharim yarutz v'lo yagi ol yechu v'lo yiafu. Any of these psukim that are turned into a song, so it makes my job easier. I can pronounce the words correctly. V'neilav mimesim she hechye yecheskel. Now, Gemara wants to know, meaning that we have now gone over a lot of Ramazim in the psukim. That tchias amesim in the Torah. The Gemara says, you know, you go through Tanakh, we see tchias amesim, meaning it happened. It happened with Yecheskel. So the Gemara asks a simple question: why not just simply learn it out from Yecheskel? That there is such an idea, there's such a concept of tchias amesim. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer. So. Several command amra be'emes mashal haya. So the Gemara says, well, there is an opinion that states that really the story in the 37th chapter of Sefer Yecheskel is not to be taken literally, but simply a mashal. It's a parable, meaning that what Yecheskel is prophesizing, is forecasting, is that the Jewish people are going to be destroyed, and the Jewish people, meaning not individuals, not biologically, not anatomically, but the Jewish people are going to come back. It's just a mashal. Ditanya, now the Gemara quotes a brisa. And for the rest of today's daf, or for most of the rest of today's daf, we're going to be focusing on this idea of how to understand the 37th chapter of Yecheskel. Is it real? Is it just a metaphor? And the Gemara here brings in a number of opinions. Ditanya, the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Elazar Amar Mesim Sheechi Yecheskel Amdu Araglem V'Amushiru Mesu. So opinion number one, and that belongs to Rabbi Elazar, is that when Yecheskel had the tchias amesim, so these people came back for a little period of time. They said shira, and then they went back down again. Mashira amro meimisim betzedek mechaya berachamim. Because Baruch Hu kills righteously, and puts to death. And resurrects with mercy. And we'll understand that better in just a moment. Rabbi Yeshua amro shira zu amro Hashem meimisim mechaya maricha ova ya'al. So Rav Yoshua fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Elazar. They came up just for a short period of time to say Shira. His only point of contention is what the pasuk was that they actually said. Kadosh Baruch Hu kills, or Kadosh Baruch Hu resurrects. He brings down to the grave, and he brings back up. Rav Yehuda Omer, Emes Mashal Haya. Rav Yehuda says, the truth of the matter is, it's a metaphor. It's not to be understood literally. Now, Amalo Rebbe Nechemia, and Nechemia is just simply bothered by the language of Rebbe Yehuda. Im emes lama mashal, im mashal lama emes. Well, which one is it? Is it truth or is it a metaphor? In other words, emes usually means literally, meaning it is. But it is not a metaphor. Metaphor is not is, it's like. So which one is it? Is it or is it like? Ela be emes mashal haya. So it's just a tweaking of the language. In truth, it's a metaphor. Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yosi, Aglila Omer, Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel, Alu La'aretz Yisrael. Venasu Nashim Va'olidu Banim Avanos. So there's a final opinion over here in this Braisa. is that Yecheskel resurrected these dead. They actually made Aliyah. They actually went to Eretz Yisrael, married women, and produced children. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra, Amar Aglav, Amar Ani Me Bneihem, Ve'alalu Tfilim Sheniach Li Avi Abba Mehem. So Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra says, I am a descendant of those that were resurrected by Yecheskel. My Tfilim are Yerusha from my grandfather, who was one of them. Umaninu Mesim Sheachi Yecheskel. Now, who are they? Okay, so we have right now, I guess you can really distill it to three opinions in terms of who resurrected, who was resurrected by Yecheskel. So either one opinion is that they were resurrected but only temporarily, just to sink Shira and then go back down. Two is that it's just a metaphor. And three is that they were resurrected and they actually, they rejoined the population, the Jewish population. Who are they? Amarav Elu B'nai Ephraim, Shemanu Leketz V'tau. So the Gemara's one opinion is that they're the B'nai Ephraim, who they made an accounting of when the Egyptian diaspora should come to an end, what we would call Galus Mitzrayim. And they were wrong. Shenamar, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Divrei Yamam, B'nai Ephraim, Shu Salach, Var, B'no, V'sachas, B'no, V'alad, B'no, V'sachas, B'no, V'zevad, B'no, V'shu Salach, B'no, V'ezer, V'alad, V'arguma, Anshei Gas, and all of them, Ba'aretz, and they were killed by Anshei Gas. Uksiv, and then we're just going to keep reading in Divrei Yamim, V'itabel Ephraim, Aviam, Yamim, Rabim, V'yavo, Achav, Nachamo. And Ephraim, their father, was mourning over them for many days. Okay, so again, the Pesukim and Divrei Yamim are not super clear, but certainly the idea is that there was a mourning done over descendants of Ephraim. Rashi over here actually takes us through the chronology. I don't have the time right now to go through Rashi, I'm sorry. But Rashi goes through the chronology in terms of when they thought the Galus Mitzrayim should have come to an end. They were 30 years off the mark. And so they left Mitzrayim 30 years early. And as a result of that, they were killed. They left too early. Ushmul Amar Elu B'nei Adam Shekafru B'tchias HaMesim. Shmuel has a different opinion. They were a group of people who denied Tchias HaMesim. Shenemar V'yamar Eli Ben Adam HaTzamos HaEla Kol Beis Yisrael Hema Hena Omrim Yevshu Atzmosenu V'av D'tikvasenu Nigzera Lanu. They were a group of people who basically said, we give up hope, meaning we're not coming back. Rav Yirmiyah Ba'amar Amar Elu B'nei Adam She'in Behem Lachluch Yishol Mitzvos. Another opinion is that they had absolutely no mitzvos whatsoever. No moisture of mitzvos. Hence, dry bones. Shenemar Atzamos Yevesha Shamu Devar Hashem. Rav Yitzchak Amar Anavcha Amar Elu B'nei Adam Shechifu Asaheichal Kulo Shkatzim V'ramasim. A group of people who actually surrounded the Beis HaMikdash with disgusting creatures. Non-kosher creatures. Shenemar V'avo V'arev Yinei Kol Tavnis Remes V'ema Shekatz V'chol Gulule Beis Yisrael M'chuka Alakir Saviv Uksiv Hasam. And another pasuk V'avirun Aleim Saviv Saviv. Surrounded with disgusting, surrounded the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, with disgusting pictures, or just simply the creatures themselves that are not kosher. Okay, a number of opinions of who they actually were. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Rav Yochanan, first wide line on the Amud.